Welcome to Discovering Responsible Wealth. This is Frank Kondralos, your host. It's a pleasure to be with you again this week. This week, our topic's going to be a little bit different. We're going to be talking a little bit about managing cash flow, how to improve your bottom line, and how to improve your quality of life at the same time. You know, Proverbs tells us that know well the face of your flocks and pay attention to your herds. And with that in mind, I don't think that in today's day and age that we're really talking about flocks and herds, but I think that really what we're looking at is that, you know, you really have two aspects of your life as it relates to your finances. One is assets that you've accumulated over time, and the other part is your income and how you're managing that and how you're being a good steward of everything that's given to you. With that being the case, what I'd like to start out by talking about is if we're going to talk about increasing cash flow and quality of life, I'd really like to spend our time today talking about really getting together a budget. You know, it's interesting as, you know, I've spent years in the financial service arena and talking to people about their finances. Very few people have really sat down and put together a budget as to where are they, you know, what are their income, what are their expenses, and so forth. And I think that that happens for a variety of reasons. One is, you know, some people, you know, say, oh, I don't even want to know, it looks so bad. And then the other side of the spectrum is you have people that say, I just make so much money, it doesn't even matter. And that perhaps might be the reason. But the reality is that establishing a budget and taking a look at what's actually occurring in your finances is such a healthy thing to do. It's no different than, you know, if I was exercising or doing anything else in my life and I wanted to get healthy and eat right, if all of a sudden I started just tracking what I was doing, you know, as far as if I was thinking about eating better and I just started writing down everything that I eat, everything I, you know, put in my mouth in the course of a day, inherently I would start eating better because I would be conscious of what's occurring. Well, finance is the same thing, which is if all of a sudden I become very conscious of how I spend my money, what I do with my finances and so forth, inherently it'll start to improve over time. So that being the case, what I'd like to do today is really help you to establish a budget. Now, if you're married, I have a suggestion, which is I think both, you know, spouses should actually do a budget on their own and then get together afterwards and share what numbers they come up with, because every once in a while, you know, what one person thinks and the other person's actually paying the bills, it can be a night and day difference. And it always, you know, is one of those of the aha moments of, geez, I didn't realize we were spending all that money on a particular area of finance or whatever the case might be. With that in mind, let's talk a little bit about where does this start in the budget process. So my suggestion is get a piece of paper, take a few seconds here, get a pen, and just write a few things down. First thing that I would tell you to do as it relates to your finances is let's start with writing down what's your income. And when I talk about income, I talk about income from all sources. What do you earn at work? Are you, you know, in a family where perhaps there's some gifting going on and you get gifts from grandpa every year, you get gifts from parents, whatever the case might be? What about investment income? You know, are you receiving income from annuities or any other, you know, area, pension income? So income on the one side should really be identified so that you get really a handle on what's coming in the front door, you know, what's your total income. After you have income, then we're going to break down expenses. And when we talk about expenses, what I would suggest that you do is start out with what I refer to as your fixed expenses. Your fixed expenses should be, you know, your taxes, real estate taxes, your income taxes, all of the taxes that come due in your life, those are all fixed. Then beyond taxes, then you're going to get into debt. And when I say getting into your debt, your mortgage, your car payment, any credit card payment, anything that you owe to anyone else, all of that debt, everything there, all those payments, those are fixed expenses. Insurance expenses, such as your homeowners, disability insurance, life insurance, auto insurance, also fixed expenses. And then I get into also expenses, but I really don't consider it much as an expense. I think it's something that we look at, which is stewardship and tithing and what you do with your church and things that are meaningful to you. Those have to be built in. Those are fixed expenses. They should be in there. Once you're beyond that, then you'll get into what I refer to as variable expenses. And your variable expenses will be, you know, your utilities at home, doctor's visits, prescription visits, transportation, you know, gas you're putting in your car, maintenance for your car. If you're driving up and down the parkway, you're crossing the bridges at, I think the last number I saw was $14. Whatever the case might be, all that should be down. If you have children that you're paying for education, tuition, books, everything that you could think of should be written down. And then after that, we're going to get into, you know, food, and then what I refer to as your personal care, leisure, discretionary, such as gifts and anything else like that. But you really should be tracking everything that's going on with your finances. So if we looked at it and just summarizing it again, we're going to take the income. That's the money coming in the front door. Then we're going to start with our fixed expenses. We're going to go through what we have there. We're going to go through some variable expenses like cable, television, things of that nature. We get into, you know, additional variable expenses such as a car, education, et cetera, and then we get into some discretionary. At the end of all that, you're going to have either a deficit, okay, which is you're spending more than you're taking in, okay, and that means that we're going to need to make some adjustments, and we're going to talk about where to find money and how to, you know, improve that, or you're going to be on the plus. You're going to have an opportunity fund, and this is going to be money that you can be utilizing for long-term, either what I refer to as wealth accumulation or wealth enjoyment. So it's one or the other that money will go to after you've done this, you know, cash flow processing, you've done this budget. So with doing the budget and as we're coming into year end, what I would suggest to you is that you not only put this budget in place, that you identify where you are today, what would the optimum look like? Where's the opportunities for improvement? And when I look for opportunities and improvement, here's some that are on the surface that I'm going to tell you to start looking at. First one is that from a tax standpoint, who's doing your taxes? Are you doing your own taxes? Do you have an accountant? It helps to get a second opinion every once in a while so that someone else can refile or redo your taxes just to look and see, is there something that's being missed? The other big area, and this is what I refer to as the ruination of our country, is credit card debt. Credit card debt is really problematic for many households. You know, it's interesting, as I remember when I brought my son, who's my oldest, to college, and, you know, we're getting them all set up the first day of college, and all of a sudden I walk into, you know, where they're, you know, doing books and so forth, and there's a company there getting kids to sign up for credit cards. And I thought it was amazing. It's like, wow, first step, you know, first day of college, let's make money real accessible to people and get them used to using this plastic. So what I tell you is that credit card debt is inherently a problem for many people. And what I would suggest to you that you do is you really have to look at this debt window as an opportunity to improve cash flow. And when I say that is, number one is if I'm looking at homes, we're going to be looking at refinancing. We're going to look at next week's show. We're going to talk about what's available in today's rate environment. Can you access money? How do you access money? When does it make sense to refinance? Other opportunities that are out there. Consolidating debt. And when we talk about consolidating debt, it comes down to a few different options. Okay, one option that you have is perhaps it might be through a home equity line of credit, that if you had equity in your home, you can pay off credit card debt with that. You may have low yielding assets, which means if you have money sitting in a savings account, basically earning nothing nowadays, but on the other side of that, you've got a $10,000 credit card bill and you've been paying, you know, 8%, 18% interest, take the money from that low yielding account, okay, and pay off those higher rates. Pensions are also a source of assets in order to be able to pay off debt. You may be able to do a pension loan, which is also be at a more favorable rate than what you would do if you were paying off credit card debt. The other things that you can do as it relates to paying off some consumer debt. By the way, cars are also consumer debt, not quite as bad as credit cards. But there are low-rate cards out there. And when I say low-rate cards, it might be that you can go from your 8 or 18% card to a 0% card or a 3% card. And then the last one I tell you to always give consideration to is there's a strategy that we utilize. It's called interfamily financing. So as an example, you as a couple may be looking at your finances, or you may be thinking about your children whose finances may need some help, and where you have a parent that basically has money in CDs getting 1% or 2%, and you have kids that have credit card debt that's at 8 or 10%. Now, you can go into a more of a formal business relationship where the parent lends money to the child, okay, at, let's say, 4 or 5%, which is better than what they're earning on their own, and yet the child takes it very seriously and they pay them off. So I would tell you that that whole debt window is a real opportunity for improving your bottom line and for getting you to really manage your finances much better. Once I go beyond managing that debt, then I would tell you to start looking at your insurances. And when I talk about insurances that are what I refer to as commodity-oriented products. Commodity-oriented products are auto, homeowners, umbrella policies, health insurance. Those types of programs should be reviewed from a cost standpoint, just to see, are they cost effective? Should you have perhaps higher deductibles on your insurance? Now, what I tell you is you should always have adequate insurance. You want to protect yourself for the maximum exposure that's out there. However, you don't need a $100 or $500 deductible. You should be looking at higher deductibles. Life insurance, I often don't really view as an expense unless it's a form of term insurance. And the reason being is term insurance is something that you'll spend money on, and it seldom results in a claim, but it's important. You got to have that coverage in place. If it's permanent insurance, such as whole life or something that bills cash, I really consider that not an expense. That's asset building, so that's different. The other things I would tell you to look at in today's day and age also is really the energy arena with regard to, you know, where are you getting your energy from? You know, are you green? Are you saving money, or do you have an opportunity to save money there? And then the last one on our list is to really control what I refer to as emotional spending. And emotional spending is putting yourself in a situation where you get tempted to buy things that you don't necessarily need, or you're overspending and you're doing it based on emotion. You know, it looks like something you'd enjoy at the moment, but it's really not a great thing to do. So I would tell you, if you can start managing those, at the end of the day, it'll improve your bottom line. And once you start improving your bottom line, your quality of life will change. You'll think clearer. And remember, what we want to do is we want to save, then spend, not spend, then save. So next week, we're going to pick this up. Our time really went fast today. It's been a pleasure to be with you. And you've been listening to Frank Congelos on Discovering Responsible Wealth. As always, it's a pleasure to be with you. If you have any questions, you can write to us at the Institute of Responsible Wealth, 2431 Atlantic Avenue, Manasquan, New Jersey, 08736, or email us at info@iofrw.com. Again, info@iofrw.com. Thank you, and have a blessed week.